relative to what His will is for our life and the workings in our life, God's plan will shine forth and He'll receive honor and glory for that. Our text is 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2 tonight. We'll read it in just a moment or two. You may remember from this morning's message that the next month of Sundays has been designated here at Sharon Baptist Church as Stewardship Month. And I'm excited about preaching and teaching on this theme of stewardship. I know the last couple of months we spoke on discipleship for about a month. And discipleship and stewardship are related together. Their last names are both ship, but the two front names are different. So that means they're related, but yet they're different. They're different, but they're not wrong, amen? But they're hooked up together. So we'll be preaching and teaching on this area of stewardship. The message series that I began this morning is entitled Stewardship, A Way of Life. And we ought to look at stewardship just as a way of life. And in this morning's message, we understood, as Pastor James already reiterated for us, that we ought to be stewards of the knowledge of God that He has entrusted us with concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching and teaching and sharing about His death, His burial, and thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ 3 days later. The month, Stewardship Month, is going to culminate in about a month from now with our missions conference. It starts on Wednesday, October 19th through Sunday, October 23rd, and Dr. John O'Malley again. We have the privilege of allowing him to come. He's from Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions. He's been here two other times speaking to us on this area of missions and faith promise giving. And God has led him back to us once again to do this. And we're excited about what he is going to preach to us. But that whole stewardship month and that conference is going to culminate with receiving our stewardship commitment cards. Now you say, what is a stewardship commitment card? Well, you'll find out in about a week or two. It's a little bit different than a faith promise card. A faith promise is going to be included in it, but also it's going to encompass the total idea of stewardship, giving God our time and our talents and our treasures, and also our testimony of what Christ has done in our life as well. So you'd be thinking about this, you'd be praying about not only what God would have you to give through faith promise, giving for the next missions year, which begins the month of November of this year, all the way through the month of October of the next year, but you'd be praying about and thinking about this idea of my time, my talent, and my tithes as well. And we'll culminate that conference with receiving these stewardship commitment cards. And basically, they're going to be on the same line of the faith promise cards, and you have opportunity to tell God what you want to do for Him during this next coming missions year. Our theme for that conference is this: the world, the gospel, and you. And we take that theme from Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You see, we have the world, we have the gospel, and we have you. And we take the world without the gospel and without you. Any one of those three are left out. We don't have the complete message that Christ would have for us. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Our goal for this conference is a staggering $65,000. Now, it's not our goal that we're going to receive the faith promise of $65,000. I believe that I have made an error in all these years of setting goals and praying and asking God, what is our goal going to be? Our goal is not to receive those stewardship commitment cards and have the number be greater than $65,000. That's not our goal. What our goal is going to be is at the end of the faith promise period, which would be October of 2017, that $65,000 would have been given in and through Sharon Baptist Church for the work of worldwide missions. So it's not the promise that's the goal. It's going to be the committed amount. And every month, at least once a month, you're going to be reminded of how we are doing in achieving our goal. And the truth of the matter is, the more that it's put out in front of you, the more it's put out in front of me, the more that I'm reminded of it, the more that you're reminded of it, the more committed we would be in this area of stewardship commitment, both in faith promise, but also in our time, our talent, in our treasures. As I think about that staggering amount of $65,000, not committed, but actually in the offering plate, in the bank, so to speak, that we have, it's staggering to me. And I'm well aware that it's staggering for me. It's not for God, because the Bible said in Mark chapter number 10 and verse 27, "For with God all things are possible." So that number might seem staggering to you and I. It might knock us back a little bit as we think about it, but it does not knock God back. Amen. And the truth of the matter is there has been more promised in over the past couple of years than $65,000. But what is promised in has not been generated through the offering plate as well. So our emphasis during the coming mission year is not going to be on the promise, but on the actual giving that God has for us. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through you and I during this next month, culminating in our faith promise and stewardship commitment that we'll be doing for the Lord. And all that leads me to this message tonight. I want to answer this question that no doubt some maybe be thinking, some maybe haven't thought about it, but once I ask the question, you're going to go, yeah, I was thinking that same thing, Pastor. And that question is simply this: why have a stewardship month? Why should we have a stewardship month here at Sharon Baptist Church? And I believe there's at least two reasons why we ought to have a stewardship month here at Sharon Baptist Church. And I think the first reason is simply this: the Bible talks so much about money. If you think about it, the Bible talks a lot about money. You know, Jesus talked about money in 16 of the 38 parables. One out of 10 verses in the gospel deals with money. The Bible devotes 500 verses on prayer. Less than 500 verses are written about faith in the Bible, but over 2,000 verses are on money and possessions and material things that money can buy. And then fourth reason is because all of us love money, all of us love possessions more than that we should in some degree or another. I'm not saying that you have the love of money is the root of all evils. I'm not saying that that root is found growth in your life. But I'm simply saying this: all of us probably love our money and our possessions more than we should. If you don't believe that, then I tell you what. Anybody have the new iPad Air, a new iPad Air? Anybody have the newest iPad? Hey, brother, could you really donate that to the church? You know, I really would like to have a new one. Okay. I'll give it back to you on Sunday afternoons when we acquire. You see, that's the truth of the matter. To some degree, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have a new iPad or a new car or a new house or a new suit, whatever you have, but to some degree, you and I, deep in our life, really have allowed money and possessions really sometimes to overrule what's really best in our life. Well, the first reason is because the Bible speaks a lot about money. But then the second reason is because stewardship training promotes spiritual growth. Stewardship training promotes spiritual growth. You know, stewardship deals with the person and not their purse. Stewardship deals with the master and not their money. And I think the sooner that we understand that, that stewardship encompasses all that we are in Christ Jesus and just not our pocketbook and just not our money, we'll really then begin to become stewards for the Lord Jesus Christ. I found a very interesting figure pertaining to church giving. And it said this: in the average church, 10 people give one-third of the income. The next 100 contributors in that church give the next third. And then everyone else makes up the last third of the church. And it's been my experience ever since I've been involved in church and working as an assistant pastor, an associate pastor, an assistant to the pastor, and a deacon in a local New Testament church, and not only kind of just being a church member, I found this out, that usually the ones who make the most money are not the ones that give the most money. It's those who have learned the blessings of giving that usually give in the top 10 people of the local New Testament church. And so, if that is true, and I believe it probably is true, that this tells me that all of us, myself included, and you included as well, have a lot to learn in this area of growing in our faith and this area of stewardship. And I want to challenge you to learn the blessings of giving to God what God requires. So having said that, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll read as our text verse, 1 Corinthians 4. Verses 1 and verse number 2 this evening. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, But let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Father, we pray now and ask your blessings upon the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, help us as we understand some things about being good stewards for you this evening. Father, we ask that if there be someone here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that this might be the very evening when they come into a living and loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Challenge our church, Father, in this area of giving and stewardship. So we pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. This evening, I want to give you three very quick Bible truths that will help to develop you to be a good steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The first Bible truth to help us to develop to become good stewards for the Lord Jesus Christ is simply this. It's the 100% principle. The 100% principle. And that is simply this. We need to understand that God is the owner and I am just a manager. God owns everything and I am God's manager. A steward is someone who owns nothing but yet manages everything. It's kind of like the manager of a hotel. He doesn't own the hotel, doesn't own those 200 or 300 or 400 rooms that he has there, but he manages those rooms. He's a steward for someone who owns those rooms. Let me ask you this question. If you want to shout the answer out, feel free to do so. If you make $500, how much of it is God's? All of it, exactly right. I was hoping someone would say, Pastor, it's $50, that's God's. But understand this, that's not the 100% principle. The 100% principle is simply this, that if we earn $500, $500 belongs to God. And the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he finds that pearl of great price, he sells everything that he has to buy that pearl. If you were to study that parable of the pearl of the great price, you're going to find out that Jesus is that pearl of great price, and the man is the merchant. So when the man finds Jesus, it costs him everything. Jesus brings him happiness. Jesus brings him joy, peace, healing, security, and thank God, an eternal security with him in heaven for all eternity. And man, both including men and women and boys and girls, marvel at such a pearl and would say this, I want this pearl. How much does it cost? The seller says, oh, it's too costly. But how much is it? Well, it's very, very, very expensive. Do you think I could buy it? Oh, of course, anybody can buy it. But you say it's too expensive? How much is it then if it's too expensive? It costs you everything that you have. No more, no less, so anybody can buy it. Okay then, I'll buy it. What do you have to give to buy it? Let's write it down. Well, I have $10,000 in the bank. Oh, good, 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 $10,000. What else do you have? Well, I have nothing more. That's all that I have. Have you nothing more to give? Well, I have some dollars in my pocket. Well, how many do you have? That's good. Well, let me see. 30, 40, 50, 80, 100, 120. Oh, $120. Oh, that's fine. But what else do you have? I have nothing else. That is all that I have. Well, where do you live? I live in my house. Oh, yes, the house will do. So you mean that I must live in my garage? Oh, you have a garage too? That will be fine. What else do you have? Do you mean that I must live in my car then? Oh, you have a car? Oh, no, sir. Actually, I have 3 cars. Oh, all of them will be fine. What else do you have? Sir, I have nothing else. Are you alone in the world? No, no, no. I have a mother and a father. I have a brothers and sisters. I have a wife and 2 children. Oh, okay. All right. Your mother, your father, your brothers and your sisters, your wife and your 2 children. That will be great. What else do you have? He said, sir, I have nothing else left. I am on my own right now. Oh, he says, Oh, you too? Fine. Everything becomes mine. Mother, father, brothers and sisters, wife, children, house, car, garage, money, clothing, everything that you have. And don't forget, you too belong to me. Now, you can use all of these things, but don't forget, they are all mine, just as you are. From that illustration, it's very plain to see that God owns everything because he has bought us with a price, his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And if we're going to be good stewards for God, everything that we have 100% belongs to him. Well, not only do we have the 100% principle, but notice secondly, if you're taking notes, the steward begins with loving and not giving. The steward begins with loving and not giving. Stewardship begins with love and not giving. You know, we can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." You know what? We often read that verse in John 3 and verse number 16, and that's a great verse, but we often forget the rest of that verse. You say, what's the rest of that verse? Well, this is Pastor Dave's theology. It's Romans 5:8. The Bible says, "But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I know that it's sister verse or it's brother verse or it's related, but I'm telling you, those two verses go hand in hand. And if we can quote John 3 and 16, we ought to be able to quote John 5 and verse number 8, because you can't love without giving. And Romans 5:8 is a great verse, but often overlooked is verse number 6. Just two verses above that, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." What are you saying, Pastor Dave? I'm simply just telling you this, is that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. It's evidenced by God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. God couldn't do it, my friend. You and I can't do it either. It's true that if God gets our heart, he'll also get our pocketbook and get our wallets as well. You know, in Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 2, God told Moses this when they're trying to collect for the tabernacle. He said, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering." Now notice the rest of this verse. "Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." So God told Moses that someone comes with a willing heart and they're bringing what God has placed upon their heart to give, and they're giving it willingly. He said, "Take my offering." The Old Testament was true, but New Testament's true as well. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 5, we find, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 5, we find Paul told those church at Corinth, speaking of the churches of Macedonia, making reference to the love offering that was being taken for the saints of Jerusalem. He said these words, "And this they did not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord." The truth of the matter is, if God has your heart, God will have your purse as well. If you are a steward for God, God not only has our time, our talents, and our treasures, but he also has our testimony that we share with that lost and dying world. And the key to stewardship begins with love and not with giving. So as we commence through these messages, preaching and teaching on stewardship, understand this, the key right now is to believe and know and understand that your stewardship, your accountability to God is not based on a commandment God gives, but out of the love because of what God has done for you by dying on the cross of Calvary. Well, not only do we have the 100% principle, and we have the stewardship begins with loving and not giving. Notice lastly this evening that practicing stewardship causes Christians to grow. Practicing stewardship causes Christians to grow. Turn in your Bible to Malachi chapter number 3 and verse 10. a familiar verse to many, Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. You see, when we practice stewardship, it causes us to grow as Christians, and giving enables us to hear in Matthew 3 and verse number 10 to increase our faith. Increase our faith. Malachi 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it." Now listen, we have this verse laid out for you and I today. This verse is just not applicable to the Old Testament. If it was speaking on tithing in the Old Testament, and tithing is commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, this promise is for us today. God says that if you'll give as I have asked you to give, he said, in matter of fact, he said, prove me, see if I'm wrong, see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there'll be not even enough room in your life to receive that. Giving enables us to increase our faith. And that's simply saying this, that God, I don't see it, I don't understand it, but I believe you because you said it in your word, and I'm going to do it. Giving enables us to do something else. Enables us, secondly, to become spiritually sensitive. You know, when we hold things back from God, it causes our heart to be hardened. And whether it's money, finances, that certainly does. Whether it's our soul winning, that certainly does. Whether it's our time or our talents, that certainly does. It causes our heart to be hardened. And we know when our hearts are hard, we're not listening to the Lord. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit through the written word of God and through the preached word of God and the taught word of God to do a work in our heart. And we become stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And because of that, we know the Bible teaches is that there's something separating us from God. When we become hard-hearted and stiff-necked, not willing to be a good steward of all that God has entrusted us with. And that is why people get so mad when the pastor begins to preach on finances and money inside the local New Testament church. Why is that? Because I already know there's a problem in that area. And the Holy Spirit's illuminating again one more time deep in their heart. And so giving enables us to become spiritually sensitive once again to the Holy Spirit of God. That's one less thing that we have to worry about in our communication with the Lord. You know, just take care of it. Well, there's something else giving enables us to do. And that is to be trustworthy stewards, to become trustworthy stewards. And that's found in Luke chapter 16 and verses 10 and 11. I'll read that verse for you. The Bible says, he that is faithful and which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in the much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, or the things, in other words, the things in this of this world, who will commit to your trust in true riches? So in other words, we find this in this passage, why should God trust you with more when you haven't taken care of with the little bit he's already have given you? Trust him. Put him to the test. Giving enables us to be trustworthy stewards. And then fourthly, notice this, giving enables us to be a blessing to others. Turning your Bibles to Philippians 4, verses 15 through 19. Philippians 4, verses 15 through 19. And I'll read it in just a moment as you follow along. I'm so glad that giving does more for us than just lay up treasures for us in heaven. Although that is one of the things that it does as well, we'll see in just a moment. Philippians 4, verses 15 and through verse number 19. Notice what the Bible says. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Notice verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Giving enables us to be a blessing to others. Paul was writing that dear church at Philippi and said, you just do not understand. You don't know how much of a blessing your gift was to me. But then he said this. He said, not that I desired a gift. He said, but I desired that the fruit may abound to your account. Paul was simply saying, it's not just about you meeting my needs and the needs of other saints. He said, it's about simply that God's blessings will be abounding to your account. You know, we quote Philippians 4, verse number 19. I hear it over and over again. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When people are bank accounts are low, and the car payments due, the house notes due, and whatever you have, and we quote that verse, and we sometimes almost say it like people use their rosary. You know, they slide their beads in their hands, and we cry out Philippians 4:19. We repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. I want you to understand something. That verse, Philippians 4:19, is true, but it's set in the context of giving. And so Paul was saying, because you gave, and he said, not that I desired the gift, but God's blessings would abound upon you. You gave in that context. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so when we quote Philippians 4:19, make sure we put it in the context. If you want to claim a promise of God, and I would say that would be a promise of God, the promise is backed up by the action that had taken place a few verses before that. Well, giving enables us to be a blessing to other people and also for God to be a blessing to us. But then notice, lastly, and then we'll be through, we find that giving enables us to make a lasting contribution. In Matthew 6 and verse number 20, we find the Lord saying, but lay not up for yourself treasures in heaven, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, if we had an opportunity on this earth to amass a, let's just call it a small fortune, there's nothing wrong with that. And God allows people even in Christendom to amass great wealth. But he allows people to do that who will use it for his honor and for his glory. But if we have opportunity to do something, I would rather lay up treasures in heaven than treasures here on this earth. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be a good steward by saving some for a rainy day. Doesn't mean we're going to sell all we had and distribute to the poor, and that's God tells you to do that. Doesn't mean we're all going to live in communal type atmosphere here at Sharon Baptist Church and we're going to go to Jerry's house and eat supper every night. That's not what it means. It simply means this: be a good steward. You save some but give some. And then when you get down to the end of the way, you know what? If God has greatly given you a great abundance of what your needs would be, I'd rather give it away and have it stored up for me in heaven than die and leave it for the devil at the rapture of the church or for some of your other relatives that probably would use it for his honor and for his glory too. So you make the decision, but giving enables us to make a lasting contribution. Let's close with this. Stewardship, it's important for our spiritual growth. It's important for me, it's important for you, but lastly, it's also important for Sharon Baptist Church. Three Bible truths we saw this morning that develop good steward. The first one is this, the 100% principle. God owns everything. All we are is a manager of what God has given us. How are you doing in the managing department? Number two, stewardship begins with loving and not giving. The Bible says they first gave of themselves. That's what God wants. That's what happened to Abraham. He gave of himself willingly to offer his son Isaac, and God just blessed him and blessed him after that. Are you willing to understand that stewardship is not about giving, but really about loving? And because God loves us and you love him, you're willing to give back to him. And then thirdly, the third Bible truth for help us to become good stewards is simply this. Practicing stewardship causes Christians to grow. I don't know about you. I need to grow. I need to grow each and every day of my life. I need to grow every hour I live, every minute that I breathe. I need to grow to be made to be more like Jesus Christ, that through me people might see a loving Savior who died for them. And as they look at me, they might see there is a good steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question I leave with you, how are you doing in this area of stewardship for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for this passage that we'll be looking at over the next couple of messages, Father. And I do pray, Lord, and ask that you would be with your people that are here. No doubt, Father, probably more than likely, everyone that's here has made some kind of profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But Lord, if there is someone here who hasn't done that and doesn't understand that they are saved for an eternity when they place their faith and trust in Christ, that this might be the night that they might be saved. Help us, Father, to understand this, that we need to be a good steward for Jesus Christ. And the Bible gives us some truths on how to do that. So, Father, may we apply these truths to our life, particularly, Father, this idea of the 100% principle. Stewardship begins with loving, and it's just not about giving. And practicing stewardship causes Christians to grow. That, Father, in the weeks and days to come, the messages that are preached and messages that will be taught, Father, we already have willingly have given our heart. And, Father, you'll take control of the rest. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father, for this time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our